Who's that? I don't think they have. Not the Albany Police Department just did a bolo.
They just did a be on the lookout because they think she's just hiding out.
Okay, but
they
did a bolo.
They did a bolo. Albany Police Department.
Okay.
Lake County.
Black or white female?
Yes.
Which one? Black or white female?
White.
Okay. And who told you that her body is fostered out there in the landfill?
A Baker County Sheriff deputy called me with information from a confidential informant. I called the police, the investigator, and everybody else under the shining damn sun. And do you know what? Not nobody showed up. Okay? I'm out here. It's day two.
So, let me point something out right off the bat. Okay? She says day two. What she means is the second day after she really realized she was missing. You have to remember, I'm letting you know now, we're about two weeks advantage for whoever either harmed Jessica or for Jessica to get a head start, maybe if she was going and hiding. About 2 weeks, around that amount of time, before she's actually called and reported. And the reason for the report is very critical, because a mother knows when their daughter is out doing nefarious things, doing, you know, bad things, on a binge or trying to get away, especially Christina, Mrs. Van Zandt. She also suffered from addiction at one point. She's now in recovery. She's been clean for a while. And Jessica was in the very early stages of it. And we'll get into more of that later. That, to me, it's not important at the moment or to really even mention quite yet. I just want to point out how frantic that is. A mother who needs to find her daughter right this second. She's not taking no for an answer from any police department, from any witness. She's like a pit bull. And, you know, I really commend her for everything she's done. Okay, going on the streets, pounding that pavement, questioning everyone. You can tell in her voice that she knows something bad happened. And no one's helping her. I told you, opening the police department, horrible job, worst. Okay, they didn't even take the report, and they lied. And were basically, what they did was they hindered the investigation, because, for instance, when I'm looking at these cases, I do a lot of missing addicts, missing mentally ill, and when you see that they willingly went somewhere, there's a good very possibility they may be hiding out. And that's what they were trying to present. You cannot put in the news that she was spotted getting into a car if it's not confirmed, because it's going to make people not be so much on their toes thinking about the last time they saw her, any other specific details of the last time they were with her, because they think that she wouldn't have left. It's one of the biggest points in this case that is why I don't think it's solved yet. I think it's very close to being solved or her being found. The sooner the better, of course. Now let's get into the rest of that call.
Okay. I would like some assistance from my local police department and finding my daughter.
Okay, listen to Ms. Johnson. I'm clear, okay? I'm clear.
Could you imagine if it was your daughter? Could you imagine?
I don't have a 21-year-old daughter, Ms. Johnson.
You have a child? Could you imagine this if it happened to you? And you had no assistance from anybody to help you find your child?
Ma'am. Frustration, Ms.
Yeah, it's more than frustration. It's somebody.
Now, many of you may think that she's being rude or whatnot to the 911 dispatcher, and I don't. I think that she's just being a mother. And for those who are listening from Carly's case, let's think about the 911 call for Carly. Where's that? Where's the frantic call? Where's the begging from the mountaintops
for assistance besides the biological mother. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about not even bringing witnesses to Dr. Phil and whatnot. Okay. Not answering questions, Corella and Nancy Grace. And Nancy Grace does both of these cases and does a great job on both. Now, as you can hear in Christina Johnson's voice, I know I called her Miss Van Zandt earlier, it's Mrs. Johnson. She's frantic. She knows something's wrong. Okay, she knows her daughter. They were very close. She's in panic mode, and I don't blame her. The first the police department she called gave her the runaround. Made up lies, made up excuses. This police department, as well as Daugherty County, have, like I said many times, done a remarkable job, and they continue to. They can only do so much, okay? People know what happened. One of the biggest rumors, as you will find out later in this podcast, is that she was put in a freezer in the river. And a lot of the rumors come back to that river. And usually in these cases, I notice that the small town sheriff's good old boy club cases, I find that the early rumors are usually true. Almost all of them say that she was put in that river. Some mention overdose. I don't go for that, okay? You're not going to risk moving a body if they just overdose. You're just going to jump ship and eventually they'll be found. You're not going to go through hiding the body. Now, many believe her body was buried and dug up and buried again. I believe it's very possible. We're dealing with a lot of crystal meth. And I find that to be very common where bodies are dug up due to the paranoia. So next we're going to listen to this 911 call. I do have the other 911 call too. But I think this one is important for me relaying a point that this woman is not going to stop. She's going to go through all ends to find her daughter. So that's how I know she's going to be found. As a matter of when, we don't know. Hopefully soon. So let's listen to the rest of this call.
On the way, or do I have to keep on talking to you?
No, ma'am. You can keep on talking to me at the same time while they're en route. It don't matter.
I called the main number of the police department to talk to the watch commander, and that woman hung up on me.
Oh, they did?
She hung up on you?
Yeah, she hung up on me. She hung up on me.
Okay. Everything you just telling me, I'm adding to my notes so the PD understand what's going on. Okay?
Please.
Okay. All right, Miss Johnson. Well, I hope you find your daughter. Okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
Calm down once PD get there, Miss Johnson.
Okay? I'm doing my best, and I'm doing my best. You know.
I understand.
Hey.
I understand.
It's day 14.
It's the situation.
It's awful. Something happened to my daughter. Somebody did something to my daughter. She died. They put her in a deep freezer. They moved her out of it. And they have moved her body somewhere else. And what it's come down to is that her body could very well be in this landfill. And I need cadaver dogs. I need investigators. I need police officers who want to do their job. What do? We're citizens out here just helpless. What do you do? I've been for 2 weeks running around getting leads and information and passing it over, and they don't even
care.
Well, Ms. Johnson, the important thing is that you don't stop looking, okay? That is your daughter, okay?
I'm not stopping.
Yes, ma'am. And I have the power route of the dispatch, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
And I have all information that you told me inside of that call, so they know where you got that information from and that your daughter's possibly out there, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm walking around here to smelling the air for the stench of death. And because I know it's warmed up now, you know? And I'm smelling it here now. This is how I'm looking for my daughter.
Okay.
So how long do you think it'll be?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to hang up.
No, Ms. Jensen, you don't have to hang up. Ms. Jensen, Dakota County Police Department made contact with you yesterday also?
He called me on the phone, and he said it happened in Albany, and that investigator was the one that would handle it. And then I found out that he was on call, and so I called him, and he didn't answer my call, ma'am. And then he messaged me back and said, I'll call you back, and he never replied to me.
Never replied. Okay.
No, ma'am.
Have your call right up for dispatch, and we have a unit route, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, so there's one last thing I want to bring up about the 911 call. And that is when she says that she knew he was on call, and he didn't pick up and didn't call her back. Now, that is one of the biggest complaints I get from families, is that they don't necessarily think that the police are not caring or trying to solve these cases. They're not returning their phone calls. They're not keeping them updated. Is it so hard to pick up the phone and say, hey, what's up, Mrs. Johnson? This is where we are on the case. You know, they're at dead ends. They're at dead ends. There's nothing they can do. You know, she's out there doing all the investigation possible. There are some good investigators in this case, like All Day and the guy from Dirty. Okay, officers care, and you can tell. Most police departments will run away from missing person cases, specifically dealing with, you know, those in a lower socioeconomic status demographic that she was in at this point in her life. As you'll be hearing throughout this podcast, this was not the lifestyle for her. She just fell in some hard times like many people do. So now, next, there'll be the intro. We'll get into some details. But you do not want to miss next week's episode, where we will be going over a phone call from the main person of interest at the moment. And I'll get into that right at the end. And I just want to give some basics, then take it from there. Make sure you like this, share it. Let other people know about this case. Spread the information. Awareness is key. Awareness, awareness, awareness. So, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy. And please give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. And like I said, share, like, do whatever you got to do to get this out there. Appreciate it. Welcome to this podcast. This podcast is put on by Missing Person Cases Network. And this podcast was originally called Carly Goosey, The Truth Lies Between. There are still two episodes that will be coming out for that specific case. But right now, I'm going to be talking about a new case. And that'll be Jessica Van Zandt Dietzel. So this is The Truth Lies Between for Jessica Van Zandt Dietzel. I hope you enjoy. If you're watching on YouTube with the video version, make sure you give this video a like, subscribe, and click the bell for notifications so you don't miss the second episode. In this episode, just like Carly's case, I'm going to just be going over the basics. And the second episode, we'll be getting into much juicier information. Okay, so I hope you enjoy. Please leave some feedback if you're watching on Facebook. Also, give it a like and a share so more people are aware. This case is one of the cases for the reason why I started doing this. She doesn't have the best background, and because of that, it's been difficult for them to get awareness. Hopefully, this podcast can get them even more awareness. So I hope you enjoy, and talk to you guys later. To be making comparisons to the Carly Goosey case as far as being able to show listeners what could have been done correctly to have a resolution in Carly's case. And one of the biggest things I'm going to highlight through this mini-series on Jessica's case is the mother's tenacious attitude when it came to finding her daughter. And Carly's biological mother was the same way, but she was forced to shut up. You'll know what I'm talking about as soon as the podcast starts. Okay, she, her, along with a few other volunteers, have been working on this all day and night since she went missing. And what they've done and what they've put together is one of the best examples of investigating on your own that I've ever seen. I know I've only been studying these cases for about 2 years, but this is by far the best. You know, it's very organized. And the two volunteers, they just won't stop. They go and they search, they question people, they do what they have to do, they're raising money. Right now the case is they're going to a psychic for help, which happens a lot in these cases. I don't recommend it, but if I had a missing loved one and that was my last option, would I do it? Absolutely. And supposedly some of the things that she said have been spot on. So whatever works. In this episode, I'm just going to really go over the beginning, what was missed. Not a fault of anyone, except there is a lot of fault to the Albany Police Department. They remind me a lot of the Bishop Sheriff in Carly's case. You know, they didn't even want to take a report. I'm not sure. I believe they eventually did take a report. But that was after Lee County, a county in which Jessica did not go missing from and does not live in, took the initial report. And about that, I want to speak on one of the officers. His name is Officer Alday, and he has been just amazing. You know, most, I even told the mother and one of the volunteers, most of the time, especially somebody who is not living, you know, the perfect lifestyle, the police departments want to shift from one to the other. Lee, like I said, she didn't go missing from there, and she wasn't from there, and they still took the report. That was Albany's job, okay, or Daugherty County, which is also doing a great job, which is the county that Albany is in, which is where she went missing from, okay? But the real problem I have with Albany Police Department is that they put out false information. I've never seen this done before where they put out information and said that it was from a third party. So why are you reporting it? You haven't verified it yet. And what it did was it made a lot of people, including myself, believe that she had left on her own and her own goodwill. And that wasn't the case. It wasn't her. So what it was they basically said that she was seen at a motel, you know, after she was reported missing. And it was everywhere that I looked, even the news stations. It hasn't been taken down from everywhere yet. Even on the Nancy Grace podcast, Nancy Grace talked about it and said, you can't even mention that, you know, it's not confirmed. And it's not true because it has been confirmed as to who it was. And it wasn't Jessica. And what that did was that delayed the process of finding her even more than it was already delayed, okay? The reason that Jessica's mom was so adamant that her daughter was missing was because her daughter missed her daughter's birthday, and that would never happen. When she didn't call, you know, her mother, Christina, just had an absolute horrible feeling that something wasn't right, and she was right. And I see this a lot in the cases that I do cover. I usually cover cases that really need the awareness, but don't get it. And they don't get it because of usually drugs or some type of mental illness. This case, drugs are playing a role in why Jessica's story is not in the national media as it should be. I will play a clip from Nancy Grace where Nancy says that, you know, people are going to start hearing her name. And makes a reference to the fact that, you know, the media picks and chooses whom they care about. But I think she fails to realize that she is the media, okay? And she has the ability to change that. And I have to say that she has been, her Crime Online has been covering cases that most mainstream media will not. But I feel like they could do a little bit more. You know, my whole thing has been like every missing life matters, every even addicts, every missing person should be treated the same. And it's never going to happen. I mean, that was always my mission and I will always go hard for that. But I have to be realistic as well.
So it's been argued that her case, her disappearance has been taken very, quote, lightly. You know, Cheryl, when you have a girl, a debutante from a prestigious family with loads of money on her way heading off to an Ivy League school for college, you can't open a newspaper. You can't go online without seeing it. That has not been the case with Jessica. Mm-hmm. And it's so wrong.
It's wrong, Nancy. And people think they know the ending already. They think they know Jessica already, but they don't. And the reality is, if something has happened to her at the hands of someone else, that means Aubin has got a killer amongst them. And that should never be okay with anyone, regardless of who the victim is. And you and I have had more than one case where the victim was a hooker or a drug addict or somebody that was in a violent situation and would not leave. But the reality is, you have somebody amongst you that is a danger to everybody, not just Jessica.
Okay, so now that we've heard exactly what Nancy says in relation to the case and how other cases seem to get a lot more attention, I challenge you, Nancy, to talk about more cases that need the awareness like this. I mean, I can give you lists and lists that with a little bit of national news could be solved. Instead, we're talking about the same couple of cases over and over. When the Watts case was around, just the same cases over and over. Cases that are already solved or person's been found. I have lists of cases that need the attention, okay? So let's make these young women who are being trafficked, let's make these young women who have fallen victim to domestic violence and have been murdered, let's get their stories out there, okay? I have cases, old cases, new cases, ancient cases, blue cases, right, red cases. I mean, I've got so many cases that could use the attention that Nancy Grace can provide. I've tried to get some attention myself with a growing missing persons to about across all social media, well over 100,000 followers. Still not enough. It's never enough. There's never such thing as enough awareness about a case. My rule of thumb usually is if it's national news, I tend to back away because I've done what I feel is my job, which is to keep pushing that case, blitzing social media till everyone knows about it. So let's talk about these cases. That's why I do this. This is why I started this. It was originally Missing Addicts and Mentally Ill. I had to change the name because families got upset, but I was upset that people's lives weren't being viewed equally. And that's not okay. So let's continue to talk about these types of cases. All right, guys, now it's time for me to get into a little bit about Jessica. And that's one thing that I told her mother I want to highlight. Because I need all of you who are listening or watching on YouTube to relate to Jessica. It could be your daughter, your sister, your friend, your wife, your niece. Okay? Jessica had just recently fallen on hard times. And it was because her daughter was taken away from her. Her mother has the daughter. So it wasn't like she was taken away by a stranger, but just not having her daughter really affected her. And what happened was her husband, if you want to call him that, was just attacking her and attacking her. And he had been providing for her. And I also want to mention that he had just got out of jail 3 days around. We don't know her exact missing date. I'll get into that in a minute. But he had only been, from the day they think she went missing, the 16th, he had only been out of jail for three days on a charge of stalking her. Okay, he was stalking her. And, you know, right out the gate, I thought it was him, definitely. And I'll talk about more of that later. Just let me finish where I was at. And basically, Jessica didn't have an address because of this, because she didn't have anyone providing for her. So because she didn't have an address, they took her child away. And luckily, her mother was able to take the child in. Now, her mother has also suffered from addiction. Okay? And she knows how it is. She knows that it's a struggle. Okay? And very fortunate that she could even have her at this point. So I'm going to get into the specific details of Jessica going missing. And it was, like I said, it was Jessica's daughter's birthday without a call or a text or anything that really, really alarmed her mother. Now, Jessica didn't have a cell phone. She would use people's Wi-Fi and talk on Messenger. This also made it very difficult. It was really hard to track her. And, you know, she, like I said, she had just fallen on really hard times, and it was very recent. She was very recent. If you see, when you see photos of her, you can tell that she was not was not a lost cause at all. I don't think anyone's a lost cause, but you know what I mean, okay? She still had it together, very much. And I'm sure that a lot of her using had to do with the fact that she didn't have her child. So it was, now, the last confirmed contact with her is on the 16th of February. Now, her mother was trying to file a report on the 1st, okay? And I'm not sure exactly when it got filed. The media release didn't come out by Albany Police until the 3rd. But like I said, Lee County had already made a report and was already investigating. They went above and beyond, to say the least. And now I'm just going to read the media release from Albany. The Albany Police Department's Family Protection Unit is using all available resources to locate 21-year-old Jessica Diane Dietzel of Leesburg, Georgia. Investigators received third-party information that they saw Dietzel willingly getting into a newer model, dark in color, four doors at a luxury inn hotel between noon and one this afternoon. That would be of the 3rd. I mean, of the 3rd of March, they're saying. Again, if anyone has seen Dietzel, please call the police or have her contact her family. Okay, so on the 2nd, the Family Protection Unit of Albany Police Department would like the public's assistance with locating 20-year-old Jessica Diane Dietzel. Now, this was not a report. This was a bolo. They still hadn't made a report yet. And it goes into that she's 5'9", 185 pounds, missing on the 16th of February. And it is not known what she was wearing at that time. We do know now, because we have video surveillance of her. And it also says investigators do not suspect foul play at this time. And that must have been a real kick in the gut to her mother, because her mother knew that she was missing, and she wasn't missing willingly, and she just had that motherly intuition. And it was almost like the Albany Police Department were basically saying, no, she's off getting high somewhere, and she was not that type of addict. Okay, she wasn't that deep yet. And then it goes on to say, if anyone has any information, yada, yada, yada. Okay? The reason I say yada, yada, yada is because they've done nothing, Albany, except for hinder the case. They hindered it by putting that out there. Now, that hotel is known for prostitution. So what they were basically trying to say was that she's off somewhere selling herself, okay, to get drugs. And that's very, very demeaning, because that was not the case. The person was confirmed, and it's not her. And this, like I said, it makes a lot of people who help raise awareness and follow these cases, it turns you off to it. You think that she's just somewhere doing, because it does happen a lot, okay? But like I said, I've had other cases. Donnie Westfall, same thing. There was actually a sheriff employee who went on the website and said that he was a missing person, has to be willingly missing. and now it's a murder investigation. And what this does is it really just pushes back the possible time to get evidence needed to get a conviction with these cases. Now, I hope and pray that Jessica's still alive. There's a very good chance that she is or has been sold into sex trafficking, because if you look into this case a little bit, you will see that men flocked to her. Okay, very attractive. She would have made any pimp a lot of money. So that's a, and she was already, you know, hooked. That's what you need to have sex trafficking. They have to be hooked to the drugs. So that's a very strong possibility. But all indications seem as though foul play has happened and she may no longer be here. I hope not, but that's just what it seems like. So next, I'm going to go into the police department that did the right thing. So Albany is very similar to how Bishop acted with Carly, okay? They didn't even clear the house right away in Bishop. They were nonchalant. They kind of just let them do what they want. Albany was playing this off like, oh, she's just somewhere getting high. And that's unacceptable. I understand some departments don't have the resources. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the training. That's fine. But that's why there's other agencies that can come in and help. And Albany never asked for help. That's why they're very lucky that Lee even got into this investigation. And what happens is when these smaller departments make these big mistakes, they don't want other agencies to come in and catch that mistake. It's like a pride thing. But we're talking about people's lives here. Because not only does this affect Jessica, Jessica's daughter, it's affecting Jessica's mother. She's very newly to being clean. This is something that could make somebody go off the deep end. She's a very strong woman, from what I know, and she's been able to hold it together. I'm gonna go into what Lee and Doherty County have done for this for Jessica next. And then we're going to go and talk a little bit about possibilities of what happened. And then the next episode, we're going to be listening to a conversation of a possible suspect. So, I've pretty much gone over what Lee and Doherty County have done and the lack of action by Albany local police department. Something else I want to point out, that local police department, just like Bishop, is not calling on a higher agency. Even though the sheriff's already involved, Albany is still the lead. And this case does scream sex trafficking. Now, most cases are not sex trafficking. As many people know who follow this stuff, sex trafficking is less likely than what it's usually talked about in cases, but this is a clear case where it could be going on. So, you know, we pretty much have the bare minimum details down. We will be getting into deep detail in this case. I expect about another, I'd like to do about 6 total episodes, and the next episode is going to be huge. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak peek. Okay, we're going to be listening to a very important conversation. And, you know, at the time of the conversation, I understand why questions weren't asked. They were in the moment, they were just talking to somebody that they believed was involved. But now that I've been able to analyze it, you know, there's just so much said and not said, which it screams that he either did it or knows who did it. So I'm going to let you listen to a little clip of what they say, and then make sure you share this. Talk about it. Talk about the case. Share for awareness. We need awareness. Somebody knows what happened. Are you that person? Do the right thing. So until next time, guys, this is D from Missing Person Cases Network, and I'll be talking to you guys soon. Hope you enjoyed.
Times that don't, but as far as me avoiding y'all, I wouldn't say that I was avoiding anyone. I've been so scared to kind of just talk to anyone, because I've got people just making me look stupid, making me look like I'm guilty of something, and just that, you know, that all I did, I met Jessica about 3 months ago. She was walking down Palmyra Road, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not even going to try to put any cut on her or anything. I'm going to tell you exactly. I seen her. She caught my eye. She's very, very attractive, a beautiful, beautiful girl, and I tried to get her to be my girlfriend. I asked her a couple of times, but...
Guys, I just have one request. If you could please, if you're watching from or listening from Anchor, share the link. Or same thing with YouTube, Facebook. If you're on Facebook, make sure you like it, like the page. YouTube, make sure you subscribe and click the bell, because you're not going to want to miss that episode, trust me. And just make sure you keep sharing this. Share this podcast. Everyone needs to hear this. Somebody may have seen something and not even realize it. So, like I said, hope you guys enjoyed. Can't wait to give you guys the rest of the story. Till next time, guys.